would declare the meeting open at 3:03. We've got an apology from Noel and an apology from Mr. Martin. Thank you for being here. No leaves of absence.
So this is the last one for us, isn't it? Or for me?
And for me.
So yeah. The policy term ends on the May 8th of October. Yeah. This is the last one because we're changing that date to the October meeting.
Go to leave of absence then, anyway.
That's for this time.
Just scooting good with that one.
Okay, so no public questions? Nothing written down? Can I get a move and a second to suspend standing orders, please? And
yeah. All right.
Okay, any applications for leave of absence for the next meeting? Just and can we get a move from the seconder to confirm the minutes, please? Yeah. And Councillor Bradford. Item A, disclosure of financial interest or proximity interest. And let's move on to 9.1, the list of payments for August. Has anyone got any queries or questions about any of those things?
I did have two queries. There was a EFT 9923. It was just listed as a reimbursement. But a reimbursement of what?
I think it was for his truck license or something. He probably got a new law. I don't know what it was. Got something to do with his truck license. Yeah.
Where are you starting?
Yeah, Jeffrey. So his HR license.
Because the reimbursement's not the cost, the truck license.
Yeah.
And the same with 9928 for Lynch Group?
Yeah, same day. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the way it's pulled through, right?
I wonder if there was other lines underneath it. And Sue Palm, 9144.
Sue's licensing. For her license and training.
Transport.
So yeah. That would be under training as well.
Yeah.
Cool. So is everyone having to pay for these up front? Because I noticed that you pay for your professional WA membership.
So my contract says I pay and the council will reimburse me for it.
Okay.
And yeah, we people are away for training. We'll cover like evening meals and breakfast usually, but there'll be miscellaneous expenses like cafes or lunches and stuff. And we can reimburse those.
Yeah.
EFC, they're twin carry, the tree mulching?
Yep.
Yeah, 9946, that's not just Williams Road.
No, I dare say that's Strathen Road. Yeah, and some from Belling East, that's over.
Yeah.
I think that might be the last invoice for them. We spent most of our money on Williams Road though, and we still haven't completed it. And we started out there last year, so that's how heavily treed it was. Hopefully we can purchase our own tree mulch in the next couple of years and start and do some of it ourselves.
I was about to ask, is that the last of the first lot? Because I think one of the previous meetings you were suggesting that it's going to be a little bit lighter and a little bit quicker from now on.
It will be now, Williams Road will be. Yeah, definitely. Very heavily. It's one of the heaviest roads that Twin Carry approved since they've taken over into life.
You
couldn't believe how slow it was. Wilesy's down to Craig Cousins, he's all through that section. Watsy planted a lot of trees years ago in there too, which needed to be heavily pruned.
Just as an aside, are there any comparisons between shires in terms of what tree mulching
cost?
How much variation is between the different shires?
There's different ways of doing it. So ours is probably more cost effective using Twin Carrow or using our own digger to do it, because you don't have to cut all the tree limbs away. Once you start backing up a couple of semis and a six wheeler and a loader and full on traffic control, it's big money.
It all depends on how hard you prune as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're taking it to the top of the batter. We're legally allowed to do so, opening it up. But there's thing about 10 years' time, them trees are coming in again, the trucks are pulling them in. So it's been a long time though since we did Williams Road, because we did it with chainsaws and a loader years ago. And a tree mulcher maybe. I bet we're putting tree mulcher behind and pushing the limbs into
mechanically, manually.
So, it's definitely the best cost effective.
How often do you think it needs to?
A road?
The mulching, yeah.
Every 10 years a road needs to be, you need to go back there. Okay. And some roads, the less trackable roads will leave, they'll try and get them out in 15 years. But we've got Turner's Road out there that's really urgently needing the trim. Fowler's are complaining about that now. And we've been going to go there for the last couple of years, but Williams Road, Timmy Haslam, Wiles's, Craig Cousins, you know, they all complain. So
you got a set program or just
the roads that we know, mate? Yeah, you get myself and Morty, yeah, as you're driving around, you just remember what's bad and complaints are coming. You just remember what needs to be done. So yeah, we try and move it around, but we still haven't done across the Popo West Road. We're probably still a K off that intersection. We're down near the Canadians, Lawn Rentals. We're down along there at the moment. That's going to be out of where we're going to gravel sheet, so that's great. All our gravel sheet and along there is all done, ready to roll. So. But yeah, hopefully we can start to go along and pull some out ourselves and get rid of them in our maintenance through the wetter months of the year, if we get the chance.
So we have to do that?
Yep. Anything under 10 years old can come out, or anything on that batter, anything inside the corners, just line of sight, anything in crossovers for about 30 metres down the road each side. Yeah, it can come out. So.
How do you know 10 years?
It's just an average. Yeah.
Well, while we're talking trees, I noticed in the complaints of the trees fell over someone's fence. And
yep.
So we clean up, take it back out of their property, but
sometimes it will, it depends where it is. If it's on farming, no way. Yeah. We would never get it. We'd never do our own work, you know what I mean? If it's in the town, quite happy to lift it off or get Jeff and Joe to cut it out.
Yeah. I've got the impression there's an expectation to repair the fence on that complaint.
Which one was that? On Russell Street? That's not even her fence.
Yeah.
It's a bloke. I can't think of his name. He sold up and moved out, but he asked us to remove it, and it was too wet, and there was a Telstra cable in folded into the roots of the tree. But Morty and the boys got it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not our place to do their fence. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Looking for trouble.
I had one question, 20368, the groceries. $402.
Stuff for our meetings, coffee and tea for the shower rates, and shell supplies here for the arts classes.
We go to page 11. Page 10, sorry. Page 10, prepayments and accrued income. So they existed at May 2025. And I just had a question. I'm going to pick on the 5,000. I think it started at 5,700. If it's something that is prepaid and has a monthly charge against it, will the decrease from 5 7 to 5.4 doesn't calculate at 12 months. But yeah, it didn't seem to be, didn't make sense as to what it was or how it was being offset or used up. And then the accrued income. I think that might have had to do with some of the ratepayers on plans that prepaid at one point. Is that where that is?
No. So, I can give you explanation about those. So the first one, the prepayment, is to do with one of the licences that went over, so that's about 7 months, I think, of the 12-month period. So that was the balance of 30th of June, so you're correct there. So there's a couple of months that haven't been recorded for this financial year.
Yeah.
So there should be about two sevenths of that.
Right.
The other amount there is it's a good pickup. That actually relates to the previous financial year, and that's part of the reason why I'm here. There's probably half a dozen different things at the end of financial year for 24-25 that haven't been done, and that one in particular relates to income that I'd need to look into it, but I think it needs to be taken into account in 24-25 year. So that balance, in my mind, should be nil, as it is now. There's a couple of other things like wages accruals, interest, on loans and those kind of things as well.
Leave journals and all that, leave provisions and those sort of end-of-year journals that haven't quite been.
That's right, yeah.
So is that being picked up through all the process and that'll get done?
Yeah, so that's what I'm hoping to do in the next couple of days and just tidy it up for the annual financial statements, which are due at the end of this month.
Yeah, reserve transfers, all those sort of things.
Correct, yeah. So they've been done. The leave has been done, but the interest on loans hasn't. There's been a few accruals. Yeah, there's about three or four or five of them. But yeah, that one there. My understanding is I think that should be taken up into account 24-25, that accrued income. It relates to LRCI funding.
Yeah, so makes more sense that explanation.
Yep.
The other one that has come up while we're talking about accounts and that sort of stuff, and one I've had that I'm not sure it's still sitting there. The interest on our deposits, the way that's been recorded in the past has been really, really interesting. That is now monthly journal accruing some interest.
Yes and no. So yeah, that's on my radar as well. So I just had a chat with Chris this morning about that. So a couple of things there. One, just wanted to make sure that you're maximising your interest at the moment, just with rates coming in, just a conversation I have with Chris. Just with your reserves at the moment, I think it's just sitting in a normal kind of investment account rather than a term deposit. My thoughts, I'd rather see it on a term deposit. And yes, if it is a term deposit, if it's for 3 months, then we should be recognising the interest over each month as part of that.
Previously, the explanation was we don't earn it till we get it, but that didn't make sense.
So yes, if it was only a 45-day, I wouldn't be that concerned. But if you've got a six months, then obviously it's. And I think that in the last page of the variances, it actually shows that. So that was kind of what flagged it to me, going, well, we shouldn't be behind that far with interest at the moment. Is it being recognised, or is it because it's on a term deposit for a period of time? And so.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, brilliant. Thank you.
Anybody else got any pickups or stuff they want to ask about?
Interesting,
Otherwise, it's a great
tool
right to go.
Yeah. It's just a matter of really finalising those things, so then we can, the trial balance is done, and then you can create the reports that will go onto the audit portal. And for me, it's really just going through the statutory documents required, so that highlights, I guess, for me, things that maybe haven't been done. So if you've got an accrual balance sitting there, at last year, and then it's, there's no accrual balance for this year, and the, pops the question of what's going on. So just the difference between the movements and all the different notes. So yeah, there'll be a few different things coming up, but nothing significant, and no, nothing that won't be done in the next, you know, week. So.
You obviously have until the 30th of September to submit those annual financials to the auditors, so that's why I'm not here at present.
So nothing else?
Okay. Move the officer's recommendation to accept the item.
Shed on Ostrost Street, which is tools.
That's it. So Tom proposing to put another big shed in alongside the existing one. Similar dimensions. Steve's held it, obviously he's provided us the guidance there. We sent it out for public comments. Closed on Wednesday with no submissions, no concerns from anyone. Asking that there's a landscaping strip we put along the front of Austral Street just to soften the visual amenity a little bit. The proposal is they'll store a lot of their steel fabricated trusses and things there that they make in Vietnam, I believe, and ship over and then assemble. So,
I just have one question, and with that site and a couple of big sheds, and while that business is there, that'll be fine. Do we need to put a condition on there that it won't be used for chemical or other flammable storage? Do we need to be concerned about that? For either his or future owners?
And you can certainly add that condition. It's not, you know, they haven't indicated that they're going to do that in your application. Yeah, there's no problem.
Well, if they can't
store anything
legally,
they want in there.
Sounds like the appropriate permits they have, so yeah. It's pretty hard for us to control it. But it might have to be with a rider that we notified if anything was, you know, obviously for firefighting purposes, if something goes up, you are across the road from a residential area.
And that's the only reason I asked. It's close to a residential area. Do we need to be thinking about?
I know for the chemical, like farm chemical shed, it's very specific what you've got to have. You've got to have abundant ventilation and everything. So if you're going to, I would imagine if you're in a bigger kind of industry and you're doing that kind of thing, that would come as part of that.
Only have paints.
Yeah, but if it changed use, if you were storing chemicals as a chemical business, you would have to have
My question was, do we have to consider any conditions on that approval around flammables and that sort of stuff because it's in a residential area? If we don't, then I've got no problem with it.
Our building policy is not specific, it doesn't mention anything about storage of flammables or other industrial chemicals. In the planning regs that I've attached,
the development application wants a ship built if someone buys it, not now by his development.
This doesn't tie in any future
Like Eliza Dawson said, it's probably more about getting your license through minerals and.
And that's a domain that we have no control over.
It's interesting that we didn't get any complaints for that when there was complaints about just having a depot there will be a lot less noisy, would have thought, but anyway.
They've already had the machines in there, putting the pad down and laying the concrete and stuff, and they've done quite a bit of earthworks there, the hard sand for the trucks and things.
And no complaints.
And they've had no feedback from anyone.
because we had a delegation when we tried to put the Shah depot in just next door.
The worst thing.
Yeah.
Oh, right in the street.
It might be the people.
No.
I think they're the same people on. They're the same people living there.
Good morning, dear.
The proposal's been advertised widely on the website, they're on notice boards, social media, Facebook, and in the community. So.
Okay.
There's no need to consider a water tank for to catch the water for the fire if he has a fire.
We do not have condition two that they provide details of how the stormwater is going to be controlled and captured there. So there's been a recommendation.
So can I get a move and a second of the offer's recommendation, please?
Yes.
Councillor Bradford, Councillor Cowell, thank you. Okay, 9.2.2, the Walker Annual General Meeting post member motions.
So each year at the AGM there are a number of topics and issues brought up by local governments around the state. The membership vote on. We have two delegates in Councillor Dowan and Councillor Gold this year to vote, and Walker always asks us to present these to our council to get an idea on whether we support or not support the various issues that have been put up and proposals that have been put up. So if you read through there, we've just got a summary of what the motions are, which local government they've come from, and then commentary on whether that's come through both our own assessment and through Walker about how this may impact or not impact us immediately, or if it's a case of us being cooperative with local governments and seeing common issues.
The one that I was curious about was number two, which was the from the City of Calgary Boulder. So they're looking for short-term accommodation options and recognised support services, but that's only for Aboriginal.
Yeah, essentially. So that's one that's been pretty close to myself, because a lot of the transient people that come down from the lands in Jinjinjara and Spinifex region are the ones that get stranded homeless without accommodation in Calgary. Andrew Bryan, the CEO, has done a fairly substantial study about the impacts of homelessness and the social problems that causes, not just in Cal, but other communities in the Goldfields, Sejuna, Port Hedland, and Port Augusta, places in Australia. He presented at the conference last week, and it's been to a couple of local forums and local professionals ones. But I suppose what you're saying is that a lot of the costs of dealing with this went to the local government. Talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in Kalgoorlie's case in the last year or two, and that the state government and the feds hadn't really been playing up to the end of the bargain. They promised a lot in the last few months, haven't delivered, so the local governments had to step in at great players' cost to do a lot of that stuff. So it's more so not about the physical accommodation itself, but the government's commitment to providing that and lessening the burden on the right players.
So I guess what I'm questioning is whether it shouldn't just be for everybody, because there's homelessness, there's obviously issues in lots of other places, not necessarily here. But
I think that's what they're saying.
Calgary's got a big problem, isn't it?
The question isn't just about their own backyard, I think they're talking about broadly across the state.
Yes.
My fault. Thankfully, we don't have those issues, problems, not issues we've got, but you said we're going to support these other way of government. We're in a situation where they're just forced into these cases.
Okay, so do we want to go through the...
It would be even better if it was administered properly.
Yes, well.
So the office recommendations, the first one is for kind of leg race version, basically to get some more money from medical contributions that Australia's putting in. We're supporting?
Supporting.
Okay. Yeah. Support, okay. the next one was about supporting or not supporting City of Kalgoorlie Boulders for culturally appropriate short-term accommodation options.
Support it, but I'm like you, culturally appropriate, just take it out. Short-term accommodation options, full stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's culturally appropriate because at the moment they're standard that it might be happy or something like dormitory accommodation, things like that, which doesn't...
Well, culturally appropriate, you can leave that in there. It's just for those, it's just exclusively for...
Yeah.
But
conditions,
and that's what I like to know.
Yeah, whether it's widespread or not.
Well, we can't change it. This is a state. We can either vote for or against it.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't change the motion already up there.
And obviously there will be opportunities for speakers to, for and against any proposed amendments to the motion if you so wish.
Okay, so we're generally supporting. Number three is Sharif Davenant. To hold attendance of meetings of half, more than half for people not to be there. I don't want to support that one, personally.
Why?
Because I think it would make it very difficult for local governments to run on that basis if you've got.
Yeah, I think their argument is that these councils are also FIFOs, so they're not always there on their on Wednesday night of a meeting. They might be up in their mindset of where they're working.
It's a choice they make, then, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. If they're not there, then they're probably struggling to get people on council, so it could be that could be their issue there.
One of the other things with FIFO, though, is if you're away for 2 weeks and back for one, then your involvement in your community is pretty limited as well.
That's their problem, isn't it? If that's what they get on the council, they probably can't get councillors.
I think COVID's shown that Zoom works for a period of time, but it doesn't work. Yeah. So you don't need a person if you're going to commit to the position.
And even if you were a FIFO worker, you're working up on site, most of those mines are pretty remote, even though they do have communications, but quite often they go out, so you can't jump on the internet or whatever to prepare. So you'd still, even if you were able to attend more often via electronic means, there is still that risk that you're not going to be able to.
And you can still do some electronically, can't you? So it's just,
it can affect if you have a failure with technology, it can affect the quorum. So it can affect the three people away and the meetings.
CEOs won't be doing is scrambling to contact the department to get guidance on whether we can reduce the quorum.
Okay, number four. So number four is for the City of Farnborough Motion. About the rating exemptions.
So that one is Farnborough. It's a huge component of property owners or its corporate businesses claiming charitable institution status and hence seeking rate exemptions. I think I did believe that 40% of their business base in that sense, and it's, for them it's a cost of over $1 million a year if every exemption was to be granted. So.
Does that include religious institutions? So, like all those campsites along between Boston and so they would be basically saying that those should
not run.
Good money there.
I'm for supporting that because I don't think it's reasonable that they're... Well, the other side of that is if your charitable organisations are not going to get the rate exemption, you're not going to see them in your community. And there's people working there that, so I think by supporting that motion, we're also supporting the principle of charities in our community.
Genuine charities.
Genuine charities.
Yeah.
Is there an issue with the City of Bunbury and local government boundaries with Shire Cable and Shire Harbour?
For a while they had ambitions to grow. I think it goes back to former Minister Castrilli, 2008, 2009, when he first moved with the local park government to the boundary changes and amalgamations. Bunbury, there's a lot of people think, well, the greater Bunbury area now includes the Dardanups, the Eatons, the Millbridge, Cable, Dalyellup as well. Whilst they haven't sort of expressed it too much, I think the current mayor has said, you know, maybe it's a good idea for us to look at it and just becoming the city of even greater Bunbury. Cable Shire residents in particular are quite vocal about how we want to keep our Shire and our identity. So I think Bunbury's argument as well, but you know, for instance, you know, we're in Dalyellup, but we access a lot of services, you go to the South West Sports Centre, that sort of thing as well. So the city's propping up ratepayers from through their ratepayer funds for residents who aren't within the city boundaries. No,
I can't understand that would be their argument because they would be providing most of the services and sporting facilities in the region.
That said, you're looking at the Shire of Dardanup with Eden, it's one of the fastest growing areas in the state.
Yeah.
Like the Shire of Harvey, so Harvey and Eden have a very strange boundary. So one's got half Millbridge and Australia, and the other half's got Eden and a bit of Australia as well.
Okay, so go back to number four. So is everyone happy to support that motion?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, number five is Mount Maggot. Miscellaneous licences.
So you might have seen this one in the media, Shire Mount Maggot have decided that they would rate a miscellaneous licence belonging to a mining company. I think their purpose was for either tailings or energy water, I can't remember which. They lost initially through, I think, the State Administrative Tribunal, but took it to the Supreme Court where the justice ruled in Shire Mount Maggot's favour, so that these properties are rateable. The Mining Prospecting Association picked up a big fuss about it, and the state government, without any reference to local government or the Shire of Mount Maggot, decided, no, well, we're going to change the legislation to exempt these miscellaneous licences from being rateable, made rateable. And so there's quite a controversy over that. They didn't consult. This was the local government minister herself that made that decision.
Given what we've seen with even our feed mill project, the costs of supporting industry are not insignificant. You know, there's another road, Spring Hill Road, is going to need significant work in the next few years. And why should the ratepayers pay it when the mining companies are taking profits out of it?
I think they were talking about leaving camps and stuff there too, weren't they? The cost of old mining camps.
Yeah,
tires. Abandoned.
Yeah, the cost of cleaning them up afterwards. Yeah. And yeah.
Okay.
So
support?
Support, yep. Yeah.
Okay, that's... Moving a second with the four. Support. So, that's your second. That's Valentine. Good. Okay, so we're up to 9.2.3, the review of code of conduct for council members.
So generally good practice prior to your elections, the council will get reviewing the code of conduct for our membership, council and committees, and any potential candidates. So we've gone through the current one, which was adopted in 2021. I don't know that it has been released since that time, But given that we worked off the model code that was developed by the department, that still stands. There's no changes that they've made to the existing model. And you know, it's a known that we need to change what we've had at the moment. Review and re-adopt if you so wish.
You've all
read
it?
Mm-hmm.
So I assume it's the same standards that Parliament runs by in this table.
It's a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gavin.
You'll move a second?
Move a second, please, for the code of conduct. That's a coward.
Does
everybody
you could.
Okay, so no urgent business and no confidential matters, so the next meeting is Wednesday, 22nd of October. To move out that weekend.
Just pointing out that Avery mentioned it to me that in our forum documents, it does refer to that meeting being the week prior, but we did change that at last, just to account for the election on the 18th. Definitely the 22nd of October.
And we will close the meeting at 3:40.
3:40.
Very good. 3:40.